Welcome to the Inspiring West Virginians podcast. I'm Jean Snedeker. Each episode in this series profiles a West Virginia native who is a global leader in science, technology, engineering, mathematics, or business. The series first aired on West Virginia Public Broadcasting and is funded by the Miles Family Foundation in Elkins, West Virginia. In this one, I meet Dr. Linda S. Powers, an engineer known for her contributions to science, technology, engineering, mathematics, and business. This profile is from 2013. Now, on with the show.
Jean, I'm going to take you into my biosafety level 2 laboratories in the Bio 5 building at the University of Arizona Medical School. We handle microbes that can make you sick, but generally not kill you.
But you also have a lab where you handle microbes that can kill you.
Yes, that's a BSL-3 laboratory, and that is highly regulated by the CDC. I'm Linda Powers. I grew up in Beckley, West Virginia, and I am currently the Thomas R. Brown Distinguished Professor of Bioengineering at the University of Arizona. I am also a professor of electrical and computer engineering and a professor of biomedical engineering. Okay, this is an instrument which I've built. I have a number of patents on these kinds of instruments. This instrument is particularly good for looking for microbes on surfaces, such as
this small handheld biosensor, one of several clever instruments that 63-year-old Linda Powers has designed, is small enough to take on a backpack out into the wilderness or the desert and can detect microbial contamination in real time.
Surfaces. Let me show it to you.
Cool. Okay.
Now, these are lights. You don't touch the sample, ever.
Right.
So this is good.
Yes. It's just on top of a counter or something.
This is light. The light shines on the surface, like my hand here, and the light comes from these LEDs, and this is the detector, so the light captures the fluorescence, and you read it out here on this small computer, or when I was in the Arctic, we used a PDA, just a little handheld thing.
And then you can see what microbes are on that surface.
That's
almost
right.
Instantly?
Yes, instantly. Okay, because it's light. Okay, we're using light. We can't tell what species they are, but I can tell you there's microbes there and the microbial load. And the reason that's important is because these guys are communal, microbes are. And if you have large communities, you will have pathogens living in there. The instruments that I have been building for the last 15 years are aimed at looking for essentially life in extreme environments, or life in places where it is very difficult to do the standard microbiological or biological testing. And so we have been building instruments that allow us to measure very, very small amounts of microbial contamination on surfaces, whether it's food preparation surfaces, the hospital operating theater, the hospital operating utensils, and air and water fluids. This one is specifically for looking at water quality.
Yep. Powers' instrument to test water quality instantly using light can be used to monitor a city water supply or a well in an African village. She also designs and builds instruments for the Department of Defense and NASA. Much of that work is secret. But one of her instruments, for example, can detect possible bioterrorism. Another, life on Mars. Currently, she's working on a contract for the Department of Defense to develop a small, disposable blood testing kit.
That takes whole blood, a drop, on a test kit that will tell you whether or not the blood is contaminated. So it could be used, for example, in the field for a blood transfusion. And you can understand why this would be of interest to the Department of Defense.
Would one of these tests be like a cheap test to know if somebody in Africa had HIV?
Or? You bet. The other big use for this is for third world countries. These are disposables. These are things that can be done at point of care. So if you live out in a village where you have to hike miles to, as I have done, you can use those there. You don't have to make the individual come into a hospital to have these kinds of tests. You can have the answer right there, and they can be treated right there.
Since middle school,
Powers has been interested in light, or fluorescence. She was a pioneer in the use of something called synchrotron radiation, as well as X-ray absorption spectroscopy. Today, she co-owns a Tucson-based company, Microbiosystems, which develops fluorescence instruments for biomedical applications.
So in the nanoparticles project,
yes.
She's had her fluorescence instruments around the world, quite literally. She's taking them by backpack into high deserts in Chile. She's taken them to the Arctic Circle, to East Africa, and so on.
One of Power's colleagues, biomedical engineer Walter Ellis.
There isn't any company, any other group that is doing the kinds of things that she's doing because it's very hard. You have to combine a variety of areas of expertise, from electrical engineering and optics to microbiology and some knowledge of how cells work, so biochemistry and so on. And it takes someone with a willingness to look at things from many different points of view. And most people don't do that. They stay in their own little niche and try to find applications for that instead of try to find important problems and then ask, okay, what should we do about this?
This is the electrical and computer engineering building, and we're going down to my instrument development laboratories to see a 200 megahertz fluorescence instrument.
Wow. Okay. With the help of one of her PhD students, Jerry Fairbanks, Linda Powers is building a tiny prototype instrument. So far, it doesn't have a name, that can take data from anything that fluoresces, that is, something that emits light or other radiation. And it can do it in as little as a few billionths of a second.
Okay. What is your estimate that we're running at right now with all the improvements you've made?
Okay. So the fastest that we can turn off a diode right now is about 6 nanoseconds. So what we're trying to do is measure the fluorescence decay of biomolecules, and the decay is indicative of what kind of chemicals are in cells and different things and the concentrations. So I've got the LED flashing right now. The light is turning off in about 8 nanoseconds right now.
When they get the light turning off in 1 nanosecond, 1 billionth of a second, this instrument may be able to measure biomolecules in cancer instantly without having to culture cells. It could also collect data from space.
If you were flying this, for example, on one of the spacecraft, you could be taking data from something that's down on the ground because you're taking data fast enough to be able to look at different points as the thing is flying. There is not currently an instrument that is capable of taking this data that fast.
So what I've just seen is the future.
Yes, it's one of a kind at the moment.
Most people agree Linda Powers herself is a one-of-a-kind. Not only is she a leader in her field, which incorporates science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, she has an adventuresome spirit. She's an accomplished horsewoman who competes at the international level. She snowboards in Utah, windsurfs in the Caribbean, abseils down wet, vertical canyons on a rope, and drives around Tucson in an open-top Jeep. But most of her childhood was spent in a little white house on a modest street in Beckley, West Virginia.
Beckley was a very small town when I was growing up. I knew most of my graduating class. I lived there from the time I was 3 until I left for college at Virginia Tech when I was 17. I have one sister who's 7 years younger than I am, and she is a nurse practitioner. My father worked for Eastern Associated Coal Corp, and my mother was a stay-at-home mother, and my mother was wonderful.
When did you first realize that you were interested in science? Take me back to that day.
That was third grade, and I wanted a telescope for Christmas, and I got a telescope for Christmas, and I was hooked.
Where did that come from? Where did that interest come from?
I have no idea. But it was there, and it was a very strong force in my life.
When she was in the 8th grade at Beckley Junior High, she won first place at the West Virginia State Science Fair for a project using light. It was one of many science fair awards.
My mom in particular didn't understand half of the things that got me excited, but she would sit by the hour and listen to me rant and rave about it.
So you were what we would now call a science geek?
Oh, yes. Very much.
Here she is, right here. There's Linda.
Oh,
is she darling?
Yeah, there she is.
Her hair was always so bouncy and pretty and shiny, and this is Linda. Uh-huh.
Kathy Smith Simmons, classmate of Linda Powers at Beckley's Woodrow Wilson High School.
Okay, Kathy, we're behind the old high school.
Mm-hmm. I remember Linda walking to and from class with her. There were about six of us girls that all walked together, and everybody was always talking amongst themselves. She was too, and laughing. She was just always so friendly and nice and happy, and I don't think I ever remember seeing her down. She was just really positive about her life, and I really feel like Linda knew where she was going.
I came home one day from high school, and I says, I want to go to college. And, you know, my father's eyes got huge, but nobody said no.
Up to then, no one in the Powers family had gone to college. To see if she was really interested, her parents suggested she take some courses at Marshall University the summer before her senior year of high school.
I took courses in chemistry, and I did some experiments that turned out far beyond what anybody could have anticipated, and I wrote it all up, and that was what I wrote to the Westinghouse Science Talent Search, which I won in my senior year in high school.
Linda Powers was among the top five science students in the nation. It won her a major academic scholarship. Here you are. You're on the cover of the Sunday Gazette Mail on April 3rd, 1966.
Right.
And they call you a test tube teen queen.
I know. Yes, that's me. And I do remember that picture being taken. This was, I guess, just right after the Westinghouse Science Talent Search. I also won a Ford Future Scientists of America citation as well. This may have been in my basement. I had a laboratory in my basement.
You had a lab in your basement?
I did.
What kind of a lab?
A chemistry lab. It had electronics in it and chemistry stuff and all kinds of stuff.
Powers went to Virginia Tech and earned degrees in chemistry and physics. Plus, she was just one course short of another degree in mathematics. She got a PhD in biophysics from Harvard University. From there, she was recruited to lead her own research group at AT&T Bell Laboratories in New Jersey, at the time, the finest research laboratory in the world. All through high school, college, and at Bell Labs, Linda Powers had a series of teachers and mentors who encouraged her to reach for the sky.
I have been fortunate in having a series of exceptional people mentor me. I like young people, and I love it when they're curious. Okay, I was like that. I see myself doing exactly that, and I say, geez, I know what to do because somebody else knew what to do with me.
She encourages people to go follow their dreams. There are a lot of people who, in capacities as mentors, think that the thing to do is to replicate themselves, to teach their students just one thing, whatever it is they do. And Linda's philosophy is no, do what you find interesting and be good at it. And if it means that you end up changing in 10 years, that's fine too. You have to have the courage to do that.
Mentoring is a very, very important part of what I do. And I take particular interest in minorities and women and anybody else that I think may have not had a square chance. Mentoring is one of the most important things anyone can do.
One of the women Powers inspired is research scientist and engineer Lois Wardell. They first met when they worked together on a classified defense project.
She's really inspired not only women, but I think she inspires a lot of people. She really helps them develop their ideas and passion. She comes from a field where there weren't very many women. She's been a real trailblazer, opening doors, helping encourage people, helping them find opportunity, and giving them opportunities.
I think that she carries a little bit of the spirit of West Virginia in her. She has a lot of grit. She's not the kind of person that will take no for an answer. And if something is hard, she'll likely dig her feet in and redouble her efforts and say, we're going to do it anyway.
What would you tell, if you could, youngsters growing up in West Virginia today? Perhaps math or science geeks like you once were?
The sky's the limit. And in West Virginia, that sky's even closer. There's no reason for you to have any problem doing what you want to do. If you want it, do it. Somebody will take notice along the way and help you. They certainly did me, and this was back when girls didn't do things like that. Don't let anybody stand in your way. Decide what you want and simply go for it. You'll be surprised at the people you'll find who will support you, especially in West Virginia.
Dr. Linda Powers, biomedical engineer and inspiring West Virginian. Inspiring West Virginians is produced by me, Jean Snediger, and edited by Suzanne Higgins at West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Music by Ed Bowes and Roma Yagnik. The series is made possible by the generous support of the Miles Family Foundation, inspiring West Virginians to soar.